times we had. Oh, when the wind would blow with rain the snow, we're not all bad. We put our feet just where they had to go.
It's a trap!
All things Star Wars on radio.dominican.edu. And I am your host, DJ Stellar.
Hello, hello, friends. I am your host, DJ Stellar, and you are listening in to radio.dominican.edu. My show is It's a Trap, all things Star Wars. If you're just tuning in, thank you so much. That's so nice of you to do. Really, you didn't have to, and here you are. You're doing it. Listen, today is Tuesday, March 29th. I actually thought it was the 28th, so holla at me for checking my calendar right before I said that. I want you to know that today in Star Wars history in 1985, Episode 6 re-released. And it grossed more than $11 million, which is wild because ask me what episode we're talking about today. Episode 6. Thank you for asking. That's so nice of you. So we're just getting back from Easter weekend. I hope you all had a excellent day. That's great. That's good humor. Yes, Easter was wild for me. Not really. We went to my sweet mate's house for Easter and enjoyed some food that was free. And delicious, and fam time, even if it wasn't with my own fam. Shout out to my OG fam. What's up? Also, Cesar Chavez Day is coming up this Thursday, which means we have no classes. And if you are like me, you don't even know who Cesar Chavez even is. So let me tell you really quick. I looked it up. He was a union and labor organizer who negotiated hundreds of contracts that gave California farm workers better contracts, first of all, and more respect. So, shout out, Cesar Chavez. You killed it. 10 out of possible 10. Thank you for the day off of school. I'm really appreciating it. So, as I said, we're going to be talking about Star Wars Episode 6. It is Return of the Jedi. And funny story, the movie was actually not going to be called Return of the Jedi because George Lucas thought Return sounded too passive. But then he said he was going to do something like Attack of the Jedi or Revenge of the Jedi. But then that was too aggressive because Jedi aren't aggressive people. They're very calm and peaceful individuals. So, I don't know. He was just kind of all over the place with that one. But, yeah, we're here to talk about it. And really quickly before we get into it, when the... Who is it? The crew. Here we are. We're here. When the crew was, before they were making the movie and they didn't really want a lot of tourists coming and taking pictures, they put up signs. I don't know if you've ever seen the signs in the Burbank, Glendale, Hollywood. Well, really anywhere that somebody's filming. They're yellow signs with black words on them. Very big. You can tell. You can tell when it's some of the things being filmed. So it's called Blue Harvest is what they called it. Horror beyond imagination. So they put these signs out so that you did not know that they were filming another Star Wars movie, so that they would have less paparazzi, we'll say, coming and taking pictures. Didn't really help the film overall, because people still found out that they were filming. I mean, if you see Jabba the Hutt being carted around, I feel like you're going to know that it's not really a horror film. Although, Jabba's pretty scary looking, so it could have been. But it's funny, because the crew even had like t-shirts and hats made to try to convince people that they really were filming for Blue Harvest Horror Beyond Imagination, so... If you're just tuning in, this is not Blue Harvest Horror Beyond Imagination. This is Star Wars Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. And before we get into it, some starcabulary for you. two creatures that we're going to run into in Star Wars Episode 6. Also, I want you to know this is my second favorite movie, Star Wars movie, right after Star Wars Episode 1. So, yes, the Sarlacc. This thing's pretty gross. This is Jabba the Hutt's favorite pet, and he is the way... He's a way that Jabba would execute many of his victims, we'll call them. And he, when we see him in the movie, all you kind of see is like a big beak and a lot of appendages that look like squid arms or legs. Are they squid arms? I think they're squid arms. Squid appendages. And so that's what they look like. They don't have the suckers. Well, actually they do. Some of them have little tentacles on the end of them. And he's pretty disgusting. He makes these really loud shrieking noises, which is kind of gross. And anyway, he would digest his victims over 1,000 years. So you're in it for the long run, my friend. He was 100 meters tall. And it showed, I saw this diagram of him. So all we can see is the beak above ground. But beneath there, he has 6 stomachs. And actually, more than 6. He has many stomachs, I guess, is what they said. And yeah, so he was pretty disgusting in every way. Basically, he's just a torture tactic that Jabba uses. The other character or creature that we are going to encounter in Star Wars Episode 6 is the Ewok. And the Ewoks are the cutest creatures you'll ever find in the Star Wars universe, if you ask me. And you are asking me because you're tuning into my show. So, Ewoks are furry bipeds on Endor, which we'll talk about later. They are about 1 meter tall. So, in comparison to the 100-meter Sarlacc, that's a little different. They don't use technology. They rely on spears and slings and knives to fight off their enemies. And they're very quick learners, and they're witty, and just, they look like little tiny teddy bears, and they're so cute. And that's what I used to call them because I didn't know what they were when I was a child, when I was young and naive. And here is a sound of an Ewok talking.
Give me a wonder.
Walls. I think they're so cute. How do you not love that? That's so cute. And they have these little tiny lips and little noses. Oh, they're so cute. So if you're near an electronic device and you're not driving, don't Star Wars and drive. Don't do that. Then just look up Ewok one time for the one time. Just humor me for a second. All right, enough of that. We're going to go ahead and get right into the movie recap. So one more time, if you're just tuning in, this is radio.dominican.edu. It's a trap, all things Star Wars. Here we go, folks. Star Wars Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. Dun, dun, dun. So we left off, and our gang of rebels were trying to find Han because he got frozen in carbonite, and that totally sucks. So the Death Star is being a new Death Star. Because if you remember in the last episode, it got destroyed again. A new Death Star is being constructed near Endor, which is where the Ewoks live. And it's a forest planet. And it turns out that the scenes of Endor were actually filmed in Northern California. So shout out to Northern California. Thank you so much. We'll take that. Anyway, the Death Star will be operational soon. And so they're just kind of... Darth Vader and his goons are kind of just waiting on the... I don't know, the maintenance guys, to finish up their job, do their thing. So Luke, Lando, Leia, Chewie, R2-D2, and C-3PO are all returning to Tatooine to find Han, who has been taken to Jabba the Hutt. So if you remember in Episode 5, Han was frozen in carbonite, and then the bounty hunter Boba Fett took Han to Jabba the Hutt as a kind of, haha, I'm your favorite, teacher's pet situation. So Luke sends they make it to Tatooine. Then Luke sends R2-D2 and C-3PO with a holographic message for Jabba the Hutt. And he's like, Jabba, you need to be done with this Han obsession, and you need to give him to me, or there's going to be some big problems for you. Jabba pretty much just laughs, and he shows R2-D2 and C-3PO Han, who is up against the wall. He makes a great wall decoration, though. And he then sends R2-D2 to serve drinks on his wonderful sailing yacht. It's not a sailing yacht. It's just a big ship that's very dirty and disgusting. And then C-3PO will serve as his new translator. So that didn't really work out, Luke. Great plan, though. Strong. Then Leia goes to Jabba, dressed as a bounty hunter, and her voice is all gross. She kind of sounds like a smoker, actually, I'm going to be honest. Like a chain smoker. And she brings Chewie to him in cuffs, and she says, "Yo, yo, Jabba, if I give you Chewie, I think I deserve a big reward." And again, Jabba laughs at her and is like, "Nah, dude, I think you could just give me Chewie and you could get no reward." And then she shows him a detonator and she's like, "No reward means big explosion." So she threatens him with that, and then Jabba's weirdly just okay with giving her a reward. I don't really know how that worked out, but I guess if someone's threatened on being bombed, they'll give in to some things. So then Chewie's taken to prison, and Princess Leia goes to, she goes to Han in the night and releases him from the carbonite. In the night, carbonite, you're welcome. But as they're making their escape, both of them are caught, and it's kind of like, it was kind of bound to happen, because as she kind of drops Han from the wall, he slams into the ground with such like a loud noise. Nobody wakes up, no lights turn on or anything, but when the lights finally do turn on and everybody's there, everybody just kind of looks at him like, did you really think you were going to get away or nah? So they're both caught. Han is imprisoned with Chewie, and Leia is kind of put on display. She's got a skanky little number. It's just sketchy. But it turns out that, this is just a little sidebar situation, Carrie Fisher thought that she was too covered up in the last films, and that nobody could really tell that she looked like a woman. So she asked that she have a little more scantily clad wardrobe. So she got it, let me tell you. Yes, she did. But she's in this just real sketchy little costume, looks like a metal bikini, basically. And she's got to lay in front of Jabba all day long. So that sounds horrible. So then Luke decides to come to the rescue as being the Jedi in training that he is, which, honestly, I don't really understand why he didn't just do that in the first place, why he didn't just assert his dominance without doing the holographic message. You know, it's fine. Luke has to work through some things on his own. Anyway, as he's trying to make his heroic appearance, he gets dropped into a pit with a beast, and he ends up killing the beast, which is another one of Jabba's favorite pet killer things. And then Luke and Han and Chewie are all sentenced to death by the Sarlacc. So Jabba's pretty much had enough at this point. He thought that Luke would die for sure when he dropped him into that pit, but Luke's too much of a baller, holla, to be killed by that little thing. So then they get taken to the Sarlacc. Lando, however, has been there the whole time, and I think it's a part of a plan that he and Luke had devised. I'm pretty sure, but it could have just been that he came up with this on his own. So he's disguised as a bounty hunter, and he's just kind of watching over the group the whole time. So then this big ship that Jabba has, that the place that R2's serving his drinks from, the ship is over another large pit that Luke, Han, and Chewie will be dropped into, and they kind of have to walk the plank situation is what's happening. And so Luke goes out first onto the plank, and R2-D2 throws his lightsaber to him real quick one time for the underdogs, and Luke starts chopping people up left and right. Starts a little battle, and then Leia strangles Jabba with her chain that he had connected to her. Lando almost falls into the Sarlacc, but they all end up escaping along with R2 and C-3PO. The whole gang. The gang's all here. And then they explode Jabba's ship, and they leave on the Millennium Falcon. So our heroes are safe. Don't you worry. Because, I mean, if we didn't have them, would we even have a storyline? Nah. So after that, Luke decides to go back to Dagobah to finish his training. And if you remember from last time, Dagobah is where he found Master Yoda. And it's that swampy planet with all the snakes and ugh, nasty things. And there's one part where he just grabs a snake and pulls it off of, I don't know if it's like the shelf or something, I don't know, he just pulls a snake off and like, dude, that thing could bite you. And in fact, it did bite him eight or 15 times or something like that. So, that's what you get, dude. Anyway, Yoda then confirms that Vader is Luke's father. And at this point, Luke kind of freaks out a little bit. And he's like, dude, why didn't you just tell me that before? But then Yoda dies, so that sucks, and as he's dying, he tells Luke that he needs to start a family to continue the line of the Force, because the Force is strong with the Skywalkers. And then he also says that there's another Skywalker. However, as Yoda dies, Obi-Wan's Force ghost comes back, and then he kind of explains the whole Anakin situation to Luke, who's just a little shaken at this point, a little bit messed up. Think he's probably having some trust issues, he's just not all there. And so then he tells Luke about his twin sister, and Luke puts it together that it's Leia, hashtag awkward. And Han and the gang then are going to Endor to deactivate the Death Star generator. So like I said, the Death Star was being made very close to Endor, which is where the Ewoks are. And the gang all goes to Endor to kind of take care of this problem. So they get into this bike speeder battle, which they're just like cool-looking bike-looking things. I mean, I guess not really a bike. I don't know, that's what they're called, is bike speeders. So that's why I said bike speeders. But I don't know. What I don't really know how to describe it to you because you can't see it in my brain, but you straddle it and it's a machine and it goes in the air and it flies like a speeder. So there you go. Now you know. They get into the battle, like I said, with the Imperial troopers, and Leia gets just thrown off of her bike before it runs into a tree trunk. Well, that would have sucked. So then she's captured by the Ewoks, but not really, I wouldn't say captured. She's kind of more befriended by a specific Ewok because she gives him some food because, you know, free food is the way to a person's heart. So then the rest of the gang is captured by Ewoks, but they think that C-3PO is a god, probably because he's all gold and he can speak so many languages. I don't know, that would make sense. So the Ewoks decide to sacrifice the rebels as an offering to their new C-3PO god. But 3PO convinces them not to, and then they all decide to form an alliance together. So that went 0 to 100 real quick. So then they are all friends, and they're all hanging out, and there's a cute little scene where there's a bunch of little Ewok babies, and C-3PO is telling them a story to to all the Ewoks, and they're just, it's very cute. You gotta watch it. You gotta be there. Anyway, Luke then says to Obi-Wan that he's got to go and... he's not with Obi-Wan. He's with the gang. Luke says to the gang that he needs to face Vader finally. And then that's when he tells Leia that they're related. Then he kind of just turns himself over to Darth Vader and doesn't... Darth Vader tries to convince Luke again to come to the dark side. And Luke tries to convince Vader to come to the good side, but neither of them are budging. And at this point, it becomes obvious that the Emperor has been controlling pretty much everything that's happening. And he shows Luke that although the rebels think that they have walked into a great new alliance, which they have because the Ewoks are literally the coolest, they have just walked into a trap that the Emperor has set. So then the Imperial troopers capture Han, Leia, C-3PO, R2-D2, Chewie, and they think that they got everybody, but then there's a surprise attack by the Ewoks, and that ensues, or that creates a whole new battle between the Empire and the Rebels. So then the Emperor and Darth Vader try to get Luke to be evil, and they try to make him angry, and it works, and Luke tries to kill the Emperor, but Darth Vader stops him. And now go back to Endor. Lando comes to Endor, and the shield is still up, so he's like, dude, Han, you were supposed to break the shield down, you didn't. So then a space battle ensues, and the Death Star turns out that it is operational all of a sudden. So great work, maintenance man, you finished it. And then this massacres a Rebel Star Cruiser that's in space, and this is when Admiral Akbar says, it's a trap! And I get a great name for a radio show. Shout out, Admiral Akbar. And funny story about that, the line was actually supposed to be, it's a trick. And let me tell you, this show would not be called It's a Trick. So, good thing they changed it. That was close. That's all I'm saying. So anyway, Lando convinces everybody to stay and fight in space because he knows that Han will get the shield down. And Luke and Vader are still fighting, and in the midst of the battle, Vader reads Luke's thoughts to Leia. Sorry, about Leia. And he's like, oh, so you have a sister. I think this is a song that's playing in Jabba's palace. So enjoy that. Anyway, he realizes that Leia's got a sister, and then Luke's, like, heated about it, because Vader says, I can turn your sister to the dark side then if you're not going to do it. So Luke uses his rage to cut off Darth Vader's hand, and he has the moment to kill him, but the Emperor is trying to persuade Luke to come to the dark side again, and Luke's like, nah, and he just walks away from Darth Vader, and that makes the Emperor super angry, so he uses the Force lightning, and then Vader's all knocked out on the ground, but he wakes up, and he picks up the Emperor, and he throws him down a reactor shaft, so goodbye, Mr. Emperor. And then Vader is near death, so Luke attempts to save his father, but Vader's like, just take off, dude. I'm not gonna make it, and they're about to destroy the Death Star, so you should probably just go. But he tells him that he wants him to take off his mask so that he can look at him with his real eyes, and they have a touching moment. And then the Rebels end up destroying the shield generator. Lando leads the ships into the Death Star, where they destroy it again, and Luke barely escapes the Death Star with the body and mask of Darth Vader as it explodes. Leia and Han confirm their love. Luke cremates his dad at a funeral. And there's a big celebration. And the Force ghosts of Obi-Wan, Yoda, and Anakin all look at Luke proudly. Yay! That was so long. Again, I'm so sorry. There's just so many details to the recaps that we gotta do. So, congratulations, you made it. You are tuning in to radio.dominican.edu. You're listening to It's a Trap. We're gonna go to a break for a quick second, but when we get back, we're gonna talk about some other Star Wars things. So get excited, friends. We'll be right back.
Done now. have seen you 2 years ago had you stuck around or come out to a show. But you was taken over by rock and roll. While we were laughing and drinking and smoking and singing. So I left. That is it. That's my life. Nothing is sacred. I don't keep friends, I keep acquainted.
It's a trap! It's a trap!
It's a trap.
It's a trap!
Okay, so that's a great line, and I think it's wonderful, and it's the name of my show, so it's a trap. All things Star Wars on radio.dominican.edu. I am DJ Stellar. Thank you for tuning in. Fortuna-ing in. There's actually a character in Jabba's close company that his name is, I think it's Bib Fortuna. So, there you go, now you know. If you've watched the episode, which you should, because it's a quality episode, he's the nasty guy with the snake-looking thing around his neck. That's all pink, and he's got crazy eyes, and... Ugh, I don't know, he's gross. Anyway, welcome back. We're back from the break. Here we are. Now, listen, I want to do something a little different this week. I want to do some Twitter trivia. So... if you are near your tweeter, your tweeting device, your Twitophilia thing, I would like you to pull that bad boy out one time for the one time, and I want to ask some trivia questions, and whoever gets it right, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, that was more Jabba the Hutt. Yeah, whoever gets it right will receive a special Star Wars prize, so you are going to be tweeting to at... capital H-A-L-L-I-E, the number 4, capital G-O, that's like go, green light go. So again, on Twitter, at H-A-L-L-I-E, the number 4, G-O. All right, folks, our first trivia question, I guess you just try to get it in as fast as you can. That's what I'm saying at this point. I'm asking you this question, this is it. How many days did it take for Alec Guinness, Obi-Wan, to film his part in episode 6. So as soon as you get that answer in, I will let you know. It'll go down in the DMs, you feel me? And yes, like I said, you'll receive a special Star Wars prize. And everybody's going to be really excited for that. So that we're just going to do that one now, and I'll let you know by the end of the next break who won that special prize. But... now I would like to argue against the Empire, if you're all ready for it. So, here we go. The first argument that we have is, why could Leia recall elements of her mother if Padme had died in childbirth? So there's a part in the movie where Luke and Leia are talking about their mom, and Leia says something like, she was beautiful and kind, but she was sad. So people are kind of confused by if Padme died in childbirth, how even does she know that she was kind and sad? So apparently, the script had originally called for Padme to have more of a role in Leia's life, in that she was a handmaid to Leia's adoptive parents until Leia was about 4, when Padme would have died. So that was, I guess it was in the script, it was written in, but they didn't really make any mention of it. So it was more for the actors to have a backstory on what was happening than for the audience to know what was going on. So, that being said, there's also another theory that came out that because Padme may have also been force sensitive, like Anakin, Luke, and Leia, so maybe it was a whole fam of just force sensitive beings. So if that was the case, then Padme could have lived on like a force ghost, like we've seen from Obi-Wan and now Yoda and Anakin. So if that was the case, then Leia could have seen visions of her or seen parts of her in different situations that she was in. So that is a possibility. But either way, Leia would have known her mom a little bit. She wouldn't have just been left out in the dark with that one. So the next argument is, when Obi-Wan and Yoda die, their bodies disappear and become part of the Force that allow them to come back after death. When Vader dies, however, his body doesn't disappear, but he does end up reappearing as a Force ghost. This is interesting, because I was also confused by this. Why does his body just chill there? But it turns out that he was still shrouded in darkness. So because he was still one with the evilness inside of him, he could not disappear as a Force ghost right then. He had reconciled with his physical body in that he talked to Luke and was like, "Dude, I'm so sorry. I messed up so much." But he hadn't changed his spiritual or Force realm side, so his insides hadn't really been reconciled yet. So that was an interesting, not his insides, like his liver. That's not what I mean. No, that's not what I'm going for. His insides, like the spirituality of it all. So that was something that I found about that. So there you go. And finally, Han's hair appears shorter when he comes out of the carbonite than when he went in. I'm gonna be honest with you. I was like, dudes, continuity. You gotta stick to it. You gotta want it. So I was a little nervous that this was going to be something that I couldn't find anything about. But guess what? The carbonite was starting to eat away at the most brittle and delicate pieces of his body. So apparently the hair was what was being dissolved first because it was one of the most vulnerable substances on his body. So there you go. It wasn't a continuity thing. And he's good to go. Also, yeah, I guess if you need a haircut, you can just freeze yourself in carbonite and save yourself a little money. No time will be saved in the making of that haircut, but a little money might be saved. I was also curious about how long a person could be frozen in carbonite. And really quick, it's actually not frozen as in being like cold frozen, like ice or like my heart. It's more frozen as like a pause. So it's like, I don't really know what other word to use than pause. I'm going to be honest with you. Stopping, pause. Waiting. No, it's just they're hibernating kind of thing. So he's being put into a paused state. So he's still alive and functioning, but he's just not living. So anyway, you can be frozen in carbonite up to 16 years. And after 72 hours, however, hallucinations can begin because you're there still, but you have nothing to do and you can't move. So your mind is just kind of running around with itself. And, yeah, easy to start hallucinating. But, personally, I just think it's kind of a lazy torture tactic. Because it's kind of like throwing him down into the Sarlacc, if we're being honest. Because it's like, oh, I don't actually want to put in any work to make you suffer. I'm just going to freeze you. I'm going to pause your body and your living situation. Like, that's cool. That's dope. So, yeah, that's cool. But, yeah, so that was some interesting things that I found about this episode. And really quick, this was some interesting stuff that I found out as I was researching all together. So I'm just going to give you some fast facts one time for the one time. First of all, something that I found out about Darth Vader's steps is that they were actually recorded in underground tunnels in the Golden Gate Bridge, or under the Golden Gate Bridge. So if you ever have the opportunity, you can walk like Darth Vader, and I think that's totally cool. So, yeah, it gives it a real ominous and kind of creepy sound because there's nobody down there, obviously, in those tunnels. But listen, David Prowse was Darth Vader's body, and he didn't really know that there was going to be an unmasking scene until he actually saw the movie. And this is so funny. You know what? David Prowse, I feel like, really just got a rough end of the stick because originally he was the voice of Darth Vader and the body. And then they didn't like his voice, so that's when the other guy came in and did the voice. But he didn't even know there was an unmasking scene until he saw the movie and he saw Sebastian Shaw's face in there. Talk about Shawshank Redemption, am I right, ladies? Okay. No, so that would be such a bummer. Like, oh, guys, come see me be the coolest villain ever, aside from Darth Maul. And he invites all of his friends to see this movie and then... It's not even him in the face, so I don't know. That's kind of a bummer for me. But, yes, there you go. So, sorry, Darth Vader. Sucks to suck. Speaking of sounds like the footsteps. When the sound designer Ben Burt was working on the speeder bike chase, he tried to emulate the Roadrunner cartoons as closely as possible, which I thought was funny because I didn't think that would have any kind of influence on a Star Wars movie, but there you go. And whenever Jabba the Hutt kind of slithers along in his slimy nastiness, it was Ben Burt's hand being dragged through a cheese casserole. So think about that next time you see Jabba the Hutt, because he probably smells like old cheese, if we're being honest with ourselves. Also, the Ewok actors. So the Ewoks are very tiny little people, and Warwick Davis actually played the main Ewok that befriended Leia, and he found out about the auditions for Star Wars over a radio commercial that his grandma heard, and she was like, yo, Warwick, you should totally audition to be an Ewok, and he was like, alright, I'll do it. So he was a little tiny, a little babe, he was a little boy then, and he was, how could you not want to hug the Ewok? And I don't think that you understand how much I love the Ewoks, and I don't think that anybody really gets it, but if you just look at it, it's just, you just want to squeeze it, you know? This is cute. It's little. It's cute. So, anyway, they had their feet fitted so that they could run and walk in the forest moon of Endor, quote-unquote, as needed. So, apparently, you don't need Nikes or Yeezys or anything, because you can get Ewokies. Just do it. Am I right? Dude, I'm cracking myself up today. This is wild. So, yes. Also, apparently, the conditions that the Ewoks were working under were not good. And there was one point where they were like, no, we can't do this anymore. This is too much work. It's too difficult. And somebody had to go after them and see if they were actually leaving or if they were just kidding or what was happening. And they came back. There were a lot of shirts being made for this movie. Let's just say that. They came back and they had shirts made that said Return of the Ewoks. So if that's not good humor, I don't know what is anymore. Okay? Okay. Also, the name Ewok is derived from the word Miwok, which is a tribe that was based in a Native American tribe that was based in Northern California. So if you've ever heard the word Miwok and you thought Ewok, don't worry. You were on the right track. So don't trip, chocolate chip, as they say. All right, folks, I got some starter facts for you. And I would like to give them to you now as a special gift from me to you. There's some good ones. I'm going to be honest with you. I found for you a Darth Vader deluxe two scale, mind you, version. So this is the Darth Vader basically that is from this episode. So he's directly from episode 6. I think there's little changes that can be seen in each of the characters in each episode. Not necessarily a continuity thing, just they kind of are changing as the time goes on. And so this is a specifically Darth Vader episode, Star Wars episode 6. He is, how tall is he? Let me find out for you. Nope, I don't know. He's 11 pounds though, so he's not too heavy, and that's what's important. The only thing really that you need to figure out is where to put this fine piece of machinery, because he's a big dude. He's the actual height. Oh, 349 millimeters? Why would they put it in millimeters? I don't know. Anyway, you can find this on Amazon, and he's only $250. So I think it's a splendid endeavor, if you're asking me. Mom, if you're out there, my birthday's coming up, and I wouldn't mind having Darth Vader in the corner of my room, I'll be honest. Thank you. The next thing is Ewok fur. Now, this is a little sketchy, I think, because, like, what even have the Ewoks been tramping through? I don't know. But this is some of the original fur that was used on an Ewok. And it was cut off from one of the original Ewok costumes that actually belonged to Warwick. So you get the big deal. It is a tiny brown swatch, and it's framed. And it's got a picture of Wicket next to it. And Wicket's the name of the Ewok that Warwick played. So, yeah, it's beautiful. It looks really nice. It's $149. It is 23 centimeters by 31 centimeters, so not too intrusive. I don't know. So, yeah, again, it's right from the movie. So they cut it up and were like, hey, let's make some money from this, I guess. And, yes, I think another splendid buy. Finally, of course I had to have another thing from an Ewok, because they're the cutest things to ever walk the face of the Star Wars universe. Because he didn't walk in real life. But this is an Ewok baby, and it's so cute. I wish you could see it, because it's so cute. It's tiny. It's so little, and it looks like a little tiny teddy bear. And it is completely adorable. And I'm not really sure if it's a puppet or if it's actually a stuffed animal, but it was in the film, and there's a couple shots of it. And this one is $500, but I think that if you actually like the Ewoks, money is no object. So I'm gonna leave that one up to you. But again, that one can be found on Amazon and also on Prop Store. So, you know, I'm just looking out for you, and if you're telling people that you're a Star Wars fan, you need to have the goods to back it up. So, yes, the final thought that I have about Star Wars Episode 6 is that I think it's kind of cool that it's a little different in that the son is actually pursuing the father, because a lot of these movies that we're watching, it's the older person or the more mature, quote-unquote, which I guess Luke could argue to be the more mature one. But it's always, you know, it seems like it's always the dad or the older brother saving the younger brother or the, you know, something like that. And I just think it's interesting that they have the son pursuing and saving the father. I think that's a lovely twist, if you ask me. Because he doesn't stop believing in him. He completely just sells himself out to believing that he can have a resurrection from the darkness. And that brings in some more, you know, Christian themes that no matter how far gone you are, you can always come back to the light. You know what I mean? You feel me? So ultimately, Luke doesn't have to lay his life down for his father, because his father dies. But yeah, it gets pretty close. Gets pretty sketchy in there a couple times. So, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to radio.dominican.edu. It's a trap, all things Star Wars. We're going to head to a quick break, but when we get back, we're going to be talking about some winners of some trivia. So, stay tuned. We'll be right back. Oh, my Lord, that I should write, and you should not. I'll gently rise, and I'll softly call. Good night and joy be with you all. A man may drink and not be drunk. A man may fight and not be slain. A man may call the pretty girl and perhaps be welcome back again. But since it has so ought to be, by a time to rise and a time to fall, come fill to me the parting glass. Good night and joy be with you. Good night and joy be with you all. I don't have anything I gotta do all day. Lie in bed and watch TV. I don't have anything that I need to say. I know that you're hurting too. I know you're all alone. I know that you're coming back. I worked it out wrong.
I know that you're hurting too. I know you're all alone. I know that you're coming back. I worked it out wrong. I worked it out wrong. Time, time means nothing. No, nothing means nothing when you're gone. Baby, I'm lonely and I'm sorry. I was wrong. What did I wrong?
Oh, that sounds like the Star Wars theme. That's because it is. Welcome back to radio.dominican.edu. You're listening to It's a Trap. All things Star Wars with DJ Stellar. That's me, in case you didn't know. This, however, this fine piece of music that we're listening to. Can you hear that? Can you hear that? Okay. That was actually the cast and some of the crew of Star Wars Episode 7 doing a little a cappella action on the theme song and some of the most recognizable songs of Star Wars, so that's kind of cool. I like it a lot. So, I asked a trivia question one time real quick for you to tweet me the answer to before we went on a break, and it was, how many days did it take for Alec Guinness, Obi-Wan, to film his part in Star Wars Episode 6, Return of the Jedi? Turns out it only took one day. And I also wanted to let you know, there's some mixed reports here, so I feel like I should talk about it. But I don't really know what's true, so I'm just going to throw it all out there for you, and you can take it and run as you need to. Listen, turns out that a lot of people are saying that Alec Guinness did not enjoy his time on working on Star Wars, and there were some notes that he wrote some of his friends. I think it was, maybe it was his lover back home, and he said, I just want to be done with this movie. I don't want anything to do with it. I can't stand it. It's the worst. And he just was not happy, I guess, whenever he was on set. However, when there were interviews with Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill, they said that Alec Guinness was nothing but professional and seemed to enjoy the work that he was doing. And I mean, how could you not enjoy the work that you're doing? I mean, obviously they didn't know that it was going to be such a smashing success as it was, but I don't know. I just feel like it'd be really cool. But like I said, I don't really know if that's true. The other side of it was that Alec Guinness thoroughly enjoyed his time and had no complaints or problems the whole time. So, like I said, I don't really know which side is true, but what would the show be if we didn't tell you everything that we know? Am I right? Okay. So there you go, now you know. And I want to ask one more trivia question, and I will get back to it. I'll tell you the answer before the show ends. It is, oh, and you can tweet me at Hallie for G-O, H-A-L-L-I-E, the number 4. Capital G-O. The question is... Nice. Insert Star Wars music here. Good. The question is, how many people did it take to operate Jabba the Hutt? This is very interesting to me because... I don't know. I just never really thought about it. I thought he just kind of was a big lug just sitting there, not doing anything. But turns out that it actually took some work. So you find out. And while you're finding out, I'm going to give you some background on some of my favorite characters from the film. So, first up, we got Lando Calrissian. Now, Lando Calrissian is a true scoundrel. Many people say that Han Solo was a poser scoundrel, which I don't really agree with necessarily. They think that he would care less about Leia and the others if he really was a scoundrel, so on and so forth. I don't think that makes him a poser. I think that just makes him less of a scoundrel than your average scoundrel. You feel me? So Lando is the extreme scoundrel because he turned in his own friends for what? Lando, what did... I guess he did it so that his home planet wouldn't be invaded by the Empire. But ultimately, they were invaded anyway, so sorry. Anyway, Lando's the guy that leads the attack, or leads the rescue mission, rather, for Han, and also leads the attack against the Empire when they're all in the space. In the spaces. So I was kind of interested on how Han and Lando actually met. So he was, by 27, he was a professional gambler. That made Mom and Dad real proud, I'm sure. And also, FYI, when I asked my mom to get me Darth Vader to stand in the corner of my room, she said, no chance. So if any of you out there want to supply your girl with some Star Wars swag, just let me know, and I'll gladly accept it from you. Anyway, Calrissian won the Millennium Falcon in a game of Sabacc. Sabacc? Sabacc? One of those. It's got to be one of those, I promise. And that was just a gambling game. And so he won it from this one guy who was also a gambler. And he won with the best hand that he could ever in the universe. And he wasn't really even a pilot at that point, but he kind of taught himself. And he found Han Solo, because he knew that Solo was a successful pilot, and he was hoping that Han Solo would teach him how to fly. And actually, Calrissian found Han Solo being held at gunpoint by Boba Fett. So apparently, Boba Fett and Han Solo have just quite a past. Oh, and Boba Fett died. Did he die in 5? No, that's not possible. Boba Fett's gone, Aruni. But it turns out that he got thrown into the Sarlacc. Boba Fett did. But there's also some legends that say that he escaped. So he could still be alive at this point. We're not really sure. Anyway, back to Lando. He kind of saved Han Solo, and then they became friends. So I think that's a cute little friendship story. Like, friendship goals, dude. You saved me from being shot by a bounty hunter. Like, thank you. That's so nice of you. Yeah, so Lando's kind of a cool guy. He doesn't suck all the time, but when he does, he does. Let me tell you. Listen, we're going to talk about Jabba the Hutt. And before we do, I'm going to tell you the answer to my trivia question. And it took 6 people. That's wild. Isn't that wild? It took 6 people to operate Jabba the Hutt. Like, he's just a big lug of puppet. Really? It takes that much? But, yeah, very interesting. Took a lot of heavy lifting. That's all I'm saying. So, Jabba and Qui-Gon Jinn had a little altercation. And Jabba really... For the most part, he tried to stay on the good side of the Jedi because he's like, where's the benefit of being an enemy to a Jedi? Nowhere, Jabba. Way to think, man. So he kept this another pet that he had, and it was an enormous reptilian-looking thing. It was very gross. And he threw Qui-Gon Jinn into the ring with him, and he was like, if you can kill... my pet, then I will give you the money that you need to bet on Anakin. And that was way back in episode 1. That was so far ago. I'm so sorry. So he ended up killing, Qui-Gon ended up killing the thing, and Jabba wasn't even upset. He was like, oh, dude, you're dope. Like, you did it. That's crazy. So congrats, Qui-Gon. You really shocked Jabba on that one. The last character is probably one of the most important in the entire series. Yoda, baby. Yoda is only, I think it was 66 centimeters tall. So, a little bit taller than me, for being honest. And his face was actually molded after Albert Einstein's, which I thought was interesting. So, he didn't even know that he was force sensitive when he was growing up. And he found his master found him, and he became a Padawan. And pretty much all that I want to say about Yoda is he's the coolest. And he dedicated his entire life to making sure that there would be a second generation, I'll say, to the Force. He never wanted anybody to not saying that he didn't want them to be Padawans, but he just thought, you know, some of them are going to be too old. So, shout out, Yoda. You kept the Force alive, dude. Single-handedly. Single-green-handedly. Got him. All right, friends. Well, that'll do it today for It's a Trap, all things Star Wars, here on radio.dominican.edu. Thank you so much for tuning in. That's really just a nice thing for you to do, and I just appreciate that. Be sure to tune in next week, because I have a super special announcement for you. And it'll come to you, I believe, yeah, next week. So, thanks for listening, and have a stellar day.
This has been It's a Trap, all things Star Wars, on radio.dominican.edu. It's Totes Def, the coolest Star Wars radio show in the entire galaxy.
I mean, come on, it's probably not the coolest radio show in the entire galaxy, but I'll take it.
I'm certain it's the coolest radio show in the entire galaxy.
All right, thank you. So who even is this guy? What's that? Who is this?
I am the Father.